the world covered for you.
99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm listening. You should be too.
Guys go cuckoo when you ride the tracks and go choo choo. You came me the game just like moo moo. Now you jump in the game just like foo foo. Wish food you make the flow pop up. Wish that it's a man or wish shot shot. No shisha, no check that. My time is prime, I'm like check.
Good morning, Lagos. This is Dr. Weeba Boor on Nigeria Info 99.3 FM on the show called Power Solutions. We've been off for a couple of weeks. We got kicked off for election coverage. And in Nigeria, we keep having election after election after election, so that took a while. And then last week, I was in my hometown of Jos, so I wasn't able to do the show. However, in the meantime, I've actually been on Nigeria Info in Fort Harcourt. And I don't know how many people were able to hear me there, but I was still on Nigeria Info. So, but it's good to be back. And today we have a fantastic... Oh, thank you, Zainab. We have a fantastic guest. His name is Tunde Bajemo from Power Africa. Which is one of the, probably the most important project anywhere in the world or initiative to unlock the power sector in Nigeria. So we have kind of, this is the 900-pound gorilla. These are the big guys with the big money and doing a lot for the power sector, not just in Nigeria, but all over Africa. So Tunde, thank you for coming on the show. I know you have to fit it into your busy schedule, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So let's kick off with letting the listeners know, the people of Lagos know, who is Tunde and how did you end up being, he's the deputy chief of party for the Deloitte Power Africa program in Nigeria. So I think we'd like to know a bit about you and how did you end up in this role, this high profile role addressing the power sector in Nigeria.
Thank you very much, Reba. My background is actually in finance, but about 20 years ago, I was recruited by AES Corporation, which is an American company, yes. One of the largest IPPs in the world at the time.
The founder of AES, Dennis Bakke, actually paid for my graduate school.
Wow.
I won a fellowship from him. So AES is an amazing company.
Congratulations. So, yeah. That's a great news to hear. So AES had the first IPP in Nigeria. I don't know if you know that.
Right.
It's a power badge outside Lagos, 300 megawatts.
Okay.
And I was recruited as commercial director for that project. Mm-hmm. This was far back in about 2002, 2003.
Okay, so were you in a bank or what were you before that?
I was a banker before that. Okay. I was doing project finance.
Okay.
I worked in Nigerian banks. I started my banking career with Nexim, the Nigerian Export Import
right.
Bank.
Okay.
And then I had a stint with Chartered Bank, which is now sort of IBTC, Stanbic IBTC. So I came from a project finance background.
Okay.
And then into the power sector. Like you, Weber, I was very passionate about the power sector. You know, what's good? Why can't we have light? You know, right. And I was really interested, and I guess I got myself in trouble saying this all over the place. And someone said, you know what? You know, they're headhunting a commercial director for AES. Would you be interested? And so that's how I sort of got involved in the power sector.
So 20 years ago, so AES was able to do the 300 megawatt project.
Correct.
At that time, very little of that was going on. How was that made possible? Was there a special regulation, or what gave them the ability to do that?
I think a lot of this started off with some of the same problems we have today. People sat down and thought, there's just no power in Nigeria. What's the quickest way to bring power onto the grid?
Mm-hmm.
And it was thought that you could bring these barges, and these barges were coming from Philippines. And if you bring barges to Lagos, you could plug in Lagos and light up Lagos. So conceptually, it was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Start with Lagos, put power in Lagos, and light up Lagos state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we then discovered that there were a lot of problems, regulatory policy problems that had to be addressed. at the highest levels of government. So what happened was the Ministry of Power at that time essentially put out a policy document that was backed by the President of Nigeria at that time, President Obasanjo,
mm-hmm.
which basically allowed AES to bring this. It was the first IPP.
Okay.
And it had to cope with a single buyer, NEPA, at the time.
Okay.
NEPA was not a creditworthy off-taker, so you needed credit enhancements, you needed sovereign grants. I hope I'm going to get into technical.
No, this is good.
You needed the backing of the federal government of Nigeria to make the project work. So whereas it was a private sector-led initiative, you had to put the balance sheet of Nigeria behind it for it to work.
Right.
And I guess to a large extent that's still the case today. Right. We still need credit enhancements to bring private power into the country.
So the idea at the time was this 300 megawatts was supposed to be just the first of many, I guess, and then maybe it was too different. What happened? How come we didn't get more of these?
Well, we did. So not from AES, though, because AES sort of got their fingers burnt with the first project. But there are other IPPs that came out of this. I also had the privilege to work on the Akwa Ibom project, which was essentially the second IPP, which is a state government Akwa Ibom State initiative, 191 megawatts. And it was supposed to sort of unravel that way. You were supposed to have several IPPs selling to a single buyer, NEPA initially, and then it would then be privatized and unbundled and so on and so forth. Things have not exactly worked out as originally envisaged, but there are a few IPPs that have come on stream. You know about Azura, which is more recent. And the structure is in place for more IPPs to come on board.
Right.
There are several macroeconomic issues to deal with,
right.
but definitely the framework for IPP development is in place now.
Right, okay. All right, so you were in AES then, I believe you were in Symbion Power as well?
Correct.
So maybe tell us a bit about that, because this is all part of the kind of the history that we need to know about.
So with Symbion was another American IPP.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the only American participant in the privatization program.
Okay.
So it partnered with Transcorp.
Okay.
And at the time acquired Ugeli Power Plant,
right.
which is one of the privatized assets. I think it's one of the success stories of the privatization.
Mm-hmm.
So when Symbion took over in 2013, took over Ugeli Power Plant in 2013, the plant was doing 160 megawatts.
Right, on a good day.
On a good day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 3 months down the line, the capacity had doubled to 330 megawatts.
And if I remember correctly, it was simple things like a screw was missing here, a battery was missing there. It was nothing complicated to get the other turbines going.
Absolutely. I think one of the greatest feedback from that episode is that Transcorp and Symbion came up with two things that I thought was critical.
Mm-hmm.
One is, they got a very good management team in place. Mm-hmm. This management was led by Adefade Ibi, who's now MD of Ecodisco.
Right.
And he had worked on Ugeli 10 years before. So
right.
he understood the asset.
When he was in GE, right?
When he was in GE. He had worked on Ugeli.
Right.
And he understood the asset. So basically what they did with very minimal investment was to go and go back to the stores, the warehouse, and pick out some parts, and they did repairs with the team that was on ground, and they were able to double capacity in 3 months.
Right.
And that's one of the success stories of privatization that many don't hear,
right.
But it's one of the good things that has come out of the privatization of the power sector.
Right.
And
that's actually about the time that the Power Africa Initiative was actually then started by President Obama.
Correct.
So maybe if you can, I know Symbion was part of that.
Yeah.
Ayers Holdings, Transcorp, all of that was part of that. We were all part of it together.
Correct.
But maybe you can tell us a bit about the background and then how it evolves to what you guys are doing now.
Correct. So Power Africa is a U.S. government-led partnership, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
It's coordinated by USAID, and it was essentially designed, during Professor Obama's administration in 2013 and launched in 2013 in Cape Town. The idea is that there are 12 U.S. government agencies, 16 development partners, and I lost count of the number of private sector partners as well now, but is to basically fix the problem of electricity access in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The World Bank estimates that 1 billion people have no access to electricity, 1 billion across the globe. And 600 million of those people are in Africa.
So 60%.
60% of them are in Africa. And we're saying that about 80 million of that 600 million are in Nigeria.
Nigeria, yeah.
So, you know, it's
so Nigeria is almost 10% of the world's off-grid population is right here.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And you see it when you drive across the country. Right. You know that there are people who have no access to power, and that there are people... When you look at the grid, you see that there's dysfunctionality and the design. Sometimes you see lines going from, the grid, major stations to nowhere. And then there are parts of the towns where you see that there's need and there are no lines going there. So there's some dysfunctionality there. And Power Africa essentially have been working on improving this access. Like I said, there are 12 U.S. government agencies. There's USDA, OPEC, Exim Bank, coming with all sorts of resources and instruments to support Africa,
right,
to improve its power sector. And the focus is that the solution should be a market-driven solution. So it should be enabling private sector to invest in the sectors. When it was launched in 2013, it was the first iteration of Power Africa was for 5 years.
Okay.
And it lapsed. And there's now what we call the Power Africa 2.0, which is essentially started in April 2018.
Right.
And it's for 5 years.
And so, Power Africa 2.0. So what were, I know, you know, the first iteration of Power Africa, I think the genius was putting the power sector and the issues of power as a significant and important development concept and focus. I think it's mixed on, you know, how successful it was and so on beyond that. But I know a lot of lessons were learned, and then that was kind of fed into the second iteration.
Correct.
So maybe talk a little bit about what was learned and what you guys are doing differently now.
Okay. The MPFP, the Nigeria Power Sector Program, is Power Africa's signature program for Nigeria, and that's where I work as deputy chief of party. And so we are focused on implementing Power Africa 2.0. As you said, there are lessons learned from the first iteration. As much as I would say there was a great movement in terms of success, there are 10 million connections from Power Africa
all across Africa.
Across Africa. Okay. So there was some.
So it was actually quite successful.
It was quite successful. The targets may or may not have been achieved in some instances, but there was significant success.
Mm-hmm.
And taking all the lessons learned from Power Africa 1 into 2.0, we now have for Nigeria. For instance, the way the program has been designed, there's a Nigeria-specific program, MPSP.
Right.
And MPSP, again, for 5 years, April 2018 to 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And our interventions are now, essentially, broadly speaking, in 7 areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we, the first intervention is in gas supply.
Okay.
So this is, we recognize that Nigeria has a lot of gas, but somehow that gas is not feeding into the power sector the way it should be.
Right.
There are issues with fiscal framework, pricing, and so on and so forth.
Right.
So we're focused on how to enable gas to power.
Right.
So that's one.
And just on that one, I mean, I think there's a consensus that in the end, gas is actually going to be the solution to our power problem in Nigeria. Do you see an opportunity where gas will be able to provide the power we need, not only at the large level, but even mini grid level and that, or is that a long ways off?
Well, you have so much gas. You're blessed with so much that it makes no sense to ignore the potential of the gas. And there are different things coming up in that sphere. You have the gas flare program. We have gas that's being flared that can now be used domestically for power and for so many. But as much as we see gas as, you know, a game changer and the development of the gas sector has came to just the off-grid is we're also blessed with sunlight, which is a natural resource. So I see a mix. And that's the way the government is also moving, that you will see that eventually you will have some sort of balance where you have gas, and then you also have solar, and you make use of some small hydros as well.
Right.
As the market-driven approach for the sector continues to evolve, I think different energy sources will be used across the country. Going back to the point I was making, the first intervention we're doing is in gas supply.
Right.
The second is on on-grid generation.
Okay.
In on-grid generation, that's your traditional megawatts on the grid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our focus there is 10,000 megawatts over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We Power Africa 1 was involved in supporting projects like Azura,
mm-hmm.
which is a very popular project in the country. In TASCA 2.0, we're looking at similar projects and more dynamic projects coming up on stream over the next 5 years.
Okay.
And we're very supportive of those projects. So we're providing support to the government agencies in terms of helping with negotiations and any agreements, anything that is required to catalyze those investments, we will be happy to support with through the 12 U.S. government agencies and led by USAID.
And are there some projects like Azure that are coming on stream and that we'll see in the next year or two, or are these quite a ways off?
There are one or two projects that are taking shape.
Okay.
And they continue to take shape. What we need the government to give assent to some of the commercial requirements there. So there are projects that are likely to come on stream, and we're waiting for the government to take action on some of them.
Okay, that's good.
So on the grid, we're optimistic that things will happen over the next 5 years. Then we're talking about this. The third intervention will be in off-grid, which is where you're particularly interested, Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
In the off-grid space, we've been very supportive of REA.
Mm-hmm.
What
is REA? Not everyone knows what that means.
I apologize. I know you've been here for several weeks, so I assume that REA will be one of the agencies that will be prominent on this show. So REA is the Rural Education Agency of Nigeria, and their primary focus is to drive the off-grid sector.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very proactive. We have a very strong leadership led by a lady, Tamil Ogunbi, and they're doing great things in the sector. They have several programs. Their initiatives like energizing markets across the country called Energize Education. Energize Economies, where they're first, a set of three markets that have been energized, one just a few kilometers away from here, Zura Market.
Right.
And essentially the idea is to provide power uninterrupted to the markets through multiple sources, through gas fire generation, to solar, to some sort of hybrid.
Right.
Any energy source that's suitable for that location is used.
Right.
And it's live, it's happening. I had the privilege to go to Zura 2 weekends ago, and I witnessed this. So Zura Market now has uninterrupted power, thanks to this initiative.
And affordable.
Affordable.
Yeah.
I think the point that to make with that, before I go on, is that, you know, it's not sort of the MITRE-regulated tariff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a willing buyer, willing seller arrangement.
Yeah. So it makes the economics completely different.
It's completely different. And the consumers are happy to pay this higher tariff for sustainable, reliable, good quality electricity. And I witnessed that in Zura. There are two other markets in the first phase of energized economies. There's one in Sabongari in Kano, and there's another one
Area.
Yeah. And so the next phase of it is 16 markets also across the country. So we're supporting REA, and we're working in partnership with REA to ensure that those projects go live and they're completed in good time. REA has a major program that is going to unleash the off-grid sector in Nigeria, the Nigerian Electrification Program. It's a program that is funded through World Bank. World Bank has approved the loan.
And the African Development Bank.
I was waiting for you to point there at that way back.
Yeah.
So it's the World Bank and the AFDB. Yeah. World Bank with $350 million and AFDB with $200 million.
Right.
And that program is about to be launched.
Right.
The launch of it is imminent.
Yeah.
We expect that program is going to unleash the off-grid space in Nigeria because it's going to be mini-grid, solar home system, and Energize Education, which is another program that's being pursued by REA.
Right.
So exciting times in the off-grid space. It's very different from the grid. So most of the things that we hear, complaints that we get regularly about power and non-availability, it's a different story in the off-grid space.
Right.
Just this morning, I saw a news article by a company called Solar Philippines.
Okay.
And they're doing a 1 megawatt in a place called Odeomi.
Okay.
Where they're essentially connecting 650 consumers who had no power.
Okay.
And that's a very exciting story for Nigeria.
Yeah.
This is a community that was off the grid, and they're going to basically bring this 1 megawatt solution, so a solar hybrid solution, and they're going to light up the community. They've been in this news press release, they had conversations with rice millers, right, and people in the community who are very excited about the prospect. So that's a success story for the power sector in Nigeria, and I think we should all emphasize that.
Yeah. So let's quickly go through the other, I think there's still four more components, and then we'll have to go to the phones.
Okay.
All right.
So the other components of our program is transmission, where we're supporting TCN.
Right. Because without that, the on-grid rate generation won't matter.
It won't matter. And I know that you all know that the problems we've had with transmission and systems collapses. So we're very supportive of TCN. And we have advisors working constantly there. We continue to support TCN. Mm-hmm. We want to continue supporting TCN. And the distribution segment, are helping some of the discos, a few of the discos, with their, first with our segment, and then we're going to support them with their performance improvement plans. So it's essentially bringing skills from outside Nigeria, people who have experience looking at discos across the continent to help improve the plans of our distribution companies in Nigeria. And then the sixth one is enabling environment, which is essentially working with government to facilitate and catalyze transactions in the sector.
And that's off-grid, on-grid, everything.
So it's working with the government agencies, working with IREA, the Ministry of Power, Ministry of Finance, the government agencies that have influence on the sector, and helping them to do what they need to do to get these projects going. And then lastly is cross-cutting. We have, as part of our Power Africa program and targets, we very focused on gender inclusion.
Okay.
So gender, we're big on gender. We do a lot of training, communications across, across the sector.
Okay.
And so those are the seven areas where we're intervening.
So the last one is to make sure that there's more women involved at all levels of the power sector.
Absolutely, and we are seeing success in that sphere.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
So Zainab, can you share the phone number so people can call in?
Call us on 01-2770993. 01-2771993, 01-2772993, and 01-2773993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
All right. So while we wait for the callers, it sounds like you have a very complicated program. And I guess you started last year. So is everything sort of up and running, fully operational now? How are things going? Are you meeting your targets?
Well, we had this period of elections and so things have been moving, but we started, we're fully staffed. We have people in the government agencies helping already. We have expats, we have locals, and we've gone through a range of assessments that we are now sort of following up on and moving up on. So the program has started and we're beginning to see success. There's a lot more happening in the off-grid space, interestingly, and we're all very optimistic about how that space evolves.
Right.
So we're seeing action. And
that's only one of your seven focus areas, but I think it's probably the most exciting one.
It is the most, and when you go to a community and you see a community that never had power, and then you see the effects when they suddenly have light on the children and, the nightlife. And it's very pleasing for all of us, and we're very focused on moving that sector forward.
Yeah, because it's immediate impact.
And you see it, and there's not much rancor going on.
Yeah. Okay, looks like we have a call.
Yeah, hello?
Hello, good morning, how are you? What's your name?
I'm fine, I'm Chris.
Chris, all right, what's your question? What's your question?
Okay, my question is, I want to know if the guest you have on studio, if they have any program on ground now as regards to solar installation and electrification, if they have any program right now on ground.
Okay, Sunday?
Okay, yes, we encourage operators and people like that who have interest in solar power. I believe that your question maybe is more useful for someone like Weba, who funds the solar operators, and they may have need for installers or solar power, but we're more...
That is, if we have a program on ground now that they kind of have to maybe, if they are training installers, or if they have any program for installers now on ground,
Right, okay, so you're specifically talking about getting training on how to be a solar installer, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So there are programs like that. I think the last the
first program in Power Africa actually helped design, along with GIZ, designed an entire curriculum, which is now being deployed by the ISC. It's also being deployed by private companies like Rubitech Solar. They have a training academy. A. Stevens has a training academy there in Ogun State. And then in Kaduna, you have Blue Camel. So there's a number of these programs that you can look out for to find opportunities for training.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. All right. So let's continue. So, but as a kind of a follow-up to that question, though, you know, because you're a U.S. government-funded agency, you work a lot with the Nigerian government. Probably for the public, it's hard to kind of look at, tangibly feel it. So how do you know? So a caller now, let's say I'm from a community and I want a mini grid or something like that. How do they engage with you to create the impact that they're looking for? What's the connection?
So the kind of thing that we do is if you go to a community, a place like Odeomi where they have no power.
Mm-hmm.
So what typically happens is you have a developer who's interested in providing power for Odeomi.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the community doesn't have the resources to negotiate with, mm-hmm. with the developer. We can provide those resources. We can mm-hmm. provide legal support. We can mm-hmm. provide advisory support to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we can support the government itself to evaluate these proposals from the major developers.
Okay.
So we are here to essentially catalyze projects.
Mm-hmm.
And we would act on both sides of mm-hmm. the divide as okay. required. We will support government and we will support private developers
okay.
to get projects going. Our focus at the end of the day is to ensure that the people have access to electricity.
In any way,
and yeah. if there are gaps to be filled and within our mandate yeah. and our work plan, we will fill those gaps.
Right. Yeah. And so how did the public reach you? What's your, is it through Twitter, through email, through your website? What's the best way people can reach your program?
We're going through a process where our social media campaign will be launched very soon. But mm-hmm. meanwhile, we have my email address and some of my colleagues, it's out there in the public.
Okay.
And we'll share as well.
So they should just search for Power Africa Nigeria and they'll find
okay. us. And we're easily accessible. Okay. We're here.
Yeah. So just for everyone to know, there is a great program. This is Power Africa. It's comprehensive. They're trying to help address the shortfalls we have in our power sector, both on-grid and off-grid. So Tunde is working tirelessly to make this change happen. So what's it going to be like in 3 to 5 years? Are we going to see tangible differences?
I'm very optimistic. I think that the way we think of the power sector in Nigeria now would change in 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
I think that you'll find that communities, when you travel to your village, you're likely to have constant electricity.
Okay.
And maybe the cities will be slower in catching up.
Is that a guarantee?
I hope so.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that. And, you know, it's people like Tunde that are out there making this happen. So thank you so much for coming on today. For Lagos, I'm supposed to tell you my social media handle. So I'm on Twitter. It's WebaB_Africa. So at WebaB_Africa, Weba is WIEBE, and then the letter B_Africa if you want to engage with us directly. But thank you very much, Tunde. This has been a fantastic show, and we're going to have you on again because there's so many components, so much complexity, and you've been in this sector for a long time, so I hope you'll come on again.
Thank you.
Again, thanks for what you and your team are doing, and thanks to the U.S. government, the Nigerian government, everyone that's involved in making this change happen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Weba. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
Information is the source of development.